This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and to our friends that are on Facebook and YouTube Live. Welcome to those of you who are live here in the congregation, where we are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Reverend Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. You know, we are going through tough times. You know, it seems like every time you turn on the news, something's happening. That we are going through, you know, we all know people who are going through things, trials and tribulations, day to day. But the Bible says that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. But the question is, whose umbrella are you standing under? The pastor preached a sermon quite some time ago called Forget Me Not. And it's all the little things that God does that we take for granted. But when you look at everything that God does for us, the statement that this is the day that the Lord has made and that we shall rejoice and be glad in it, it brings new meaning to that statement. At this time, we will have our scripture reading. And I ask everyone in the sanctuary and those of you at home, if you could please stand in reverence to God's word. And we will be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 10 through 13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to its going down, your name is to be praised. Our Father and our God, once again we enter into your presence, realizing that you are God and that you are God alone. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, it is for this that we give you honor and praise. So no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we will praise you. No matter what is going on all around us, we will praise you. Because although we know not what tomorrow may bring, we know who holds the future in his hand. It is there where a sick man can be made well, a blind man can find sight, a broken man can be made whole again, and a dead man can be made alive. It is in Christ Jesus where we put our trust and our faith. So, Lord, we ask that you bless the shepherd of this house. May he bring a word that will provide comfort to those who need comfort. May it be a sustaining word to keep your people through the trials and tribulations that may come during the week. This is why we not only love the word of God, but the God of the word. All these blessings we ask in the name of the only begotten, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now I turn the services over to our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford.
Good morning. You may be seated. Good morning to all here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just in the way of information, before we turn our attention to the text, I did want to inform the church at large about the homegoing service for our sister Anita Macy. It will take place this Thursday, December 17th at Christ of Calvary Church, 61st and Larchwood. The viewing will be from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. The actual homegoing service will begin at 11 a.m. and conclude at noon. The internment will take place after the service, and it will be at Mount Peace Cemetery in North Philadelphia. There will be a repast for the immediate family only. That will take place in the lower fellowship hall of Christ of Calvary, and that will be from 2 to 3 p.m. I again ask you to keep the family in prayer and continue to lift them up before our Lord and Savior. As your pastor, I also want to thank all of you who are participating in the service behind the scenes. So many things are being done. I just want to thank you for your love and your support of the Macy family. Amen. This information will also go out tomorrow via email and via our One Call system so that you can have it again as a reminder. Amen? Good. So with that, let's turn our attention to the Word of God this morning. This morning we'll be in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 12. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through, and including verse 12. We're also going to add to the witness out of the book of Isaiah, out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 14 and 12. Amen? So again, this morning we're in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. We're adding to the witness out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Isaiah. And that be chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. If you're there, you will find these words. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Amen. Let's add to the witness out of the book of Isaiah 14 and 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Amen. This morning I want to talk from the subject, your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of gathering in the Lord's house and around the Lord's word. We pray and ask now that your word would be amplified and made known and revealed to both saints and sinners alike. Let it be a word of encouragement and strength to the believer, and let it be conviction and truth to the sinner, causing them to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we thank you for these few precious moments we have. Holy Spirit, we implore thee now, speak to us, even as you have spoken to the believers throughout the ages. This we ask in Christ's name, for his sake and glory alone. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. As noted by Sun Tzu in The Art of War, knowing your enemy is one of the primary keys to victory in battle. It's not enough knowing yourself and your strategy, but we must also be cognizant of our enemy and their strategy. According to 1 Peter 5:8, which says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So as believers, we need to know not only about our God and our Savior, but we also need to know about our enemy, that old serpent called the devil. In today's text, the Apostle John gives us important insights into our adversary. Our text starts out by saying war broke out in heaven. And Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels. But he tells us that they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. The first thing you must know and believe is that your adversary, the devil, is a defeated foe. Here in Revelations 12, 7 and 8, we learn that he was defeated in heaven by God's archangel Michael. And according to Colossians 2:15, Jesus defeated the devil by his death and resurrection in the earth. Colossians 2:15 out of the Amplified Bible says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil that operate against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captive in his triumphant procession, having triumphed over them by the cross. Okay? And so we understand that our enemy, our adversary, is a defeated foe. Okay? And we've got the word of God on that. He's already told us. God sent Michael, his archangel, and defeated the devil and the third of the angels that went with him. It's now in verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The second thing we learn about our adversary, the devil, is his strategy to attack believers. His primary weapon and preferred method of operation is called deception. Deception is an act or a statement which misleads, hides the truth, or promotes a belief, concept, or idea that is not true. It is often done for personal gain or advantage. The enemy wants to deceive you so that he can take advantage of you. Are you following me? We are not surprised by this weapon of choice for the devil, because it is what he used when he first was cast down to the earth with Eve in the Garden of Eden. According to 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. That old serpent, the devil, was cast out. He came into the Garden of Eden as a serpent, and he deceived Eve. He deceived Eve so that he could what? Take advantage of her. And if you're not careful, that's what he's going to do to you as believers. The devil wants to deceive you about the truth of God as revealed in his word and through Jesus Christ. And he does this by lying. Okay? That's how you perpetrate a fraud on someone. You lie to them about the truth. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father, the devil." It's talking about the religious leaders of Jesus' day. "And the desires of your father you want to do." That means whatever the devil puts in your heart, that's what you want to do. "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Meaning that whenever he speaks, he speaks a lie. Why? Because there's no truth in it. "When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources." Here it is. "For he is a liar and a father of it." He's the father of lies. And there is no truth to be found in him. We give Satan the victory in our lives when we choose to believe the devil's lie and not the truth found in God's word. Are you with me on that? We're just talking about your adversary, right? Because if you're going to get the victory over him, you're going to have to know about your adversary. Verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Another strategy of the enemy is to be the accuser of the brethren. According to Zechariah 3:1, it says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose or accuse him." This verse indicates first that God has allowed Satan access to his divine presence, although for a season. Second, it indicates Satan uses that access to level accusations against God's people. He does this because he knows that the Lord's righteous character and that human sin breaks our fellowship with God. If Satan cannot prevent a person from being saved, he at least wants to steal the joy that comes from walking in fellowship with God. So if he cannot keep you from God, he wants to destroy the peace and joy that you can have in God. Are you following what I'm saying? And he does that by leveling accusations against us before our God. When I was growing up, that's what we used to call a tattletale. A tattletale just sits there. And whenever mom or dad gets home, they just say, yep, they did it. They were the one that got in the flower. They went outside when you told us to stay inside. They had their friends over here when you said nobody in the house. And they're just what? They're just accusing you. They're just bringing everything against you. And the sad thing about most tattletales is that oftentimes they're telling the truth. You did go outside. You did let your friends in. You did go in the refrigerator and tell, instead of waiting for your mother to get home to cook. So they're not lying against you. They're actually telling the truth. Right? And with the enemy, he does the same. He also levels accusations against us. But follow this. What he's accusing us is actually true. But it's a lie. I wish I had my real church. I done gave you this. If you can get that, you got the whole sermon. What he's accusing us of, the sins that we commit against the holiness of our God, are actually true. But what he fails to realize is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we receive an imputed righteousness from God, from Jesus Christ, so that when we stand before God, we do not stand with our own righteousness. We stand with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the accusations are true. But the reality is that it's a lie. Why? Because I've been washed in the blood. I've been purified by the blood. And now I've been justified by Christ himself. And he has covered me with a white garment. Now I stand before the Father, pure, clean, and holy. And the accusations are no longer true. Here it is. Let's wrap it up. Here we are. Here we are, going down into verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. And so far, the Apostle John has told us what happened to the devil. He's told us how the devil likes to attack us as believers. First through deception, and secondly by accusation. And now that he has told us about our adversary, he now tells us as believers how we are to gain the victory over our adversary. And he lays out a three-prong attack against the devil that never fails. Are you listening? He gives us a three-prong attack that never fails. Here it is. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. The first prong of the believer's attack against our adversary is the blood of the Lamb. Revelations 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So his blood cleanses us from sin and justifies us against the accusations of our adversary. They don't do it much today, the times in which we live now. But years ago, whenever the devil would attack the church, whenever the devil would attack the believers, the saints of God would gather and they would begin to plead the blood. Now again, some folks in the new church don't even know what I'm talking about. But in the old church, that's what they did. That's what the
They said if you can get the blood over it, the blood can kill it.
Yes.
The blood can destroy you.
Amen.
And that's what we need to go back to in our lives is pleading the blood.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, let the blood do it.
Let the blood do it.
First it was the blood of the Lamb. And then the second part of his attack is the word of their testimony.
Yes.
1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that you have.
Amen.
Do it with meekness and with fear.
Yeah.
When we were young, the old saints would make us stand up and give a testimony during service. And a testimony was just your expression of your faith in Jesus Christ and what he had done in your life.
Amen.
Now, as a young person, we used to hate. We used to hate doing anything in church at any time, much less being forced to stand up during service with everybody looking and listening. But what I didn't realize is what the old saints were giving us, they were teaching us how to defeat our adversary. Because the word of God says you overcome by the word of your testimony, by your own personal proclamation of what Christ has done in your life, actually gets you the victory over the devil.
Amen.
Ask somebody and say, do you have a testimony? Every time we make a public declaration of faith in Jesus and his mighty words, we deliver a crushing blow to our adversary, the devil.
Amen.
In John chapter 9, the blind man said, I don't know who it was, nor do I know where he went. He said, all I know is that I was blind, but now I see. He said, I don't know how he did it. I don't know why he did it. All I know is that I'm glad that he did it, because again, I was once blind, but now I see. And so if you're going to get the victory over the adversary, you've got to have a testimony.
Yes.
Always available. You've got to have a testimony. Always at the ready. Tell somebody what Christ has done in your life. Somebody, I know what he's done for me.
Yeah.
So you got to have the blood of the Lamb. You got to have a testimony at the ready. And then this last one, they do not love their life to death.
Amen.
A triumphant and conquering believer does not love their life or lifestyle more than they love God.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, let me say that again. I said something. A triumphant and conquering believer does not love their life nor their lifestyle more than they love God.
Amen. Amen.
1 John 2:15 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Look at somebody and tell them, don't love this world. I helped you out on last Sunday. I told you, don't fall in love with anybody or anything that you can leave. Because when Christ comes again, you don't want to have anything holding you back. But instead of loving the world, we ought to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. And the second commandment is like unto it, we should love our neighbor as ourself. Have your neighbor and say, you don't love God. Come on, why don't you love God more than you love life, more than you love family, more than you love friends? Because if God does not reign supreme in your life, when your adversary attacks you, when the devil comes against you, you won't be able, you will not be able to proceed. So here it is. I'm going to close with this. So we learned in our text that God defeated the devil in heaven. Jesus defeated the devil in the earth by the cross. And we as believers can defeat the enemy in our lives. And we do it by one, using the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, by giving our testimony. And third, by loving God more than we love our own lives. And if you do these things, then the prophet Isaiah says these words, that no weapon that is formed against us shall be able to might have life,
life,
and life more abundant.
Amen.
Don't allow the devil to steal your joy. Don't allow the devil to steal your peace. Don't allow the devil to overwhelm you with fear. I'm so
Know your adversary so that you can defeat your adversary.
The book says our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for what? The pulling down of strongholds. Anytime you see the devil, it's always what? Going down. Why? God steadily crushing him. Steadily bringing him lower and lower until what? Until it's time for him to go to his prepared place. While we wait to go to our prepared place.
Glory to God.
Use the weapon of in your life today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pastor, I'm under attack. Preacher, I hear what you're saying. What a reality in my own life.
Yeah.
Feel the enemy attacking me daily. What am I to do? Except Christ as your personal Savior.
Change teams. Go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Make Christ your King. And make His Father your God. That's what you got to do. That's how you get on the Lord's side. And then these weapons will be granted to you. The blood, the testimony, and love of God. If you use them, I'm telling you, you'll get the victory. The text said, and they overcame. That means what? They got the victory. And they used three things to get the victory. The blood, the testimony, and the love of God. You do the same in your life. You too will get the victory. If you're watching this morning and you have a prayer request, why not go to our prayer request page and drop us a note and let us know what trials you're facing. What issues and challenges you are dealing with. God never meant for you to deal with them alone. That's why Christ came. That's why we serve as His ministers. To come alongside you. Your moments of weakness and temptation. Troubles and distress. And pray with you and pray for you. Why won't you drop us a line this Sunday so that we can pray for you and have you report back to us with your testimony saying, this is what the Lord has done for me. Taylor, as always, I appreciate your attention and your patience and your receptivity to the Word of God. Our service is now back into the hands of Deacon Abrams.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Good morning, and we will now transition and worship through giving. Now this morning you can give through one of three ways. Text to give, online giving through our website, and through the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, just go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and then follow the instructions, and to give by the U.S. Mail Service, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary, you'll find two baskets near the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and the other for the preacher of the hour. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit through the side ramp. And as always, thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And now our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of our church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us from your home. But if you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice, so please keep that in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. Pastor Ford has issued a thankfulness challenge to all families. So during these unprecedented times filled with so much sadness and often depressing news, it may be hard even as believers to find reasons to be thankful. Nevertheless, the Bible reminds us to always be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pastor Ford is asking all families at least once a week, during your fun time, during your devotion time, during your meal time, to go around and each person say what they are thankful for. That includes the young adults, the teenagers, the children, and of course, the parents. This thankfulness challenge will run through the end of the year. A simple exercise, but hopefully it will begin to have everyone realize just how much we are thankful for. There will be no prayer and Bible study on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, and there will be no watch night service this year for New Year's Eve. Again, just to reiterate, if you have a prayer request, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and please go to our prayer request page, or just simply call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond to you. Remember to hit subscribe on the YouTube page or follow us at Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date of all our upcoming events. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. And always thank you. And the service is back into the hands of our pastor, Elder Ford.
Shall we all stand? Our God and our Father, we look to you now. To whom else shall we turn and where else can we go? Give us the strength and courage we need the days, weeks, and months ahead. And cause the light of your Son to shine in us and through us brightly. And cause the confidence and courage of your word to be in our hearts that we might declare it boldly. Remember the bereaved family. Remember all those that are grieving and mourning. You are the God of all comfort. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. Have a great week.